A reading from Luke chapter 23. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. When a hurt child cries, we sometimes try to comfort them by saying, "It's okay, don't cry." What we mean when we say that is, it seems really bad to you right now, but it will get better. In our text this evening from Luke 23, Jesus speaks to women in Jerusalem who are weeping as he passes by them on the way to his death on the cross. He begins the way we begin: "Don't weep." But as we continue to hear his words, they shock us. They take our breath away. He doesn't say, "It's not as bad as you think it is." He says, "It's worse than you think it is." He doesn't tell them to weep and mourn. He tells them how they should weep and mourn. We can benefit from Jesus' stern yet loving words to these women of Jerusalem. We can learn rightly how to mourn. So tonight we consider the theme, "Don't weep for Jesus, my fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus." Our first point shows that the things that are happening to Jesus are so very tragic and so very necessary. Jesus is completely innocent as he walks the way to his death. He's all alone in this process. Earlier, he had called on his disciples and even the crowds to take up their cross and follow him. His own words, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." There's no one with Jesus except Simon of Cyrene, who was grabbed against his will and forced literally to carry the cross of Christ. Christ Jesus is all alone in having to drink the cup of God's wrath. Yet this is God's necessity and part of the divine plan for our redemption. The women should have been rejoicing with tears of joy. But we read, "And there were following him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him." Jesus is proceeding as the scriptures had foretold concerning his work on behalf of all people. What we really are seeing played out here is that grace is abounding all the more. And in Christ Jesus, our sin is being dealt with once and for all. The women are weeping for Jesus, and he lovingly and sternly warns them that they should weep for Jerusalem and for their children. Secondly, unless people take shelter under the protection of the cross of Christ, the wrath of God will overwhelm them. The text says they will say to the mountains, "Fall upon us," and to the hills, "Cover us." Jesus is quoting from Hosea 10, verse 8. At that particular time in history, the northern kingdom of Israel had worshiped idols. They had run away from God, perverted his will, and God's patience came to an end. And in came the Assyrian Empire, and its army came and destroyed them. We hear similar words in Revelation 6:16. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. When judgment day comes, these will be the words for those who have not believed in the Lamb slain for them. God's judgment will be pronounced upon them. But earlier in Luke, we hear these words, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of the city depart, and let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. For the unbelieving nation of Israel, the majority of whose leaders and people rejected the Messiah, God's judgment came upon that nation. He raised up the army of Rome, and they came and laid waste to the city of Jerusalem with terrible carnage. Jesus is warning the women of Jerusalem. But herein we see the deep love of our Savior Jesus. He cries out, escape from judgment that is coming upon your sin. God will not tolerate sin. He offers forgiveness and salvation for all in and through his Son, Christ the Crucified. To those who turn down and reject God's salvation in Christ Jesus, there remains his fearful and final judgment. We don't know which of these women heard Jesus' loving words, but we can hear them and we can heed them. Finally, let us mourn our sin and follow Jesus as he journeys the way to his cross. The life of the Christian is one of daily repentance and a return to our baptism. And maybe during the season of Lent, we stress repentance a little more. Maybe with the text like this one before us tonight, where Jesus is calling out as he slowly makes his way to the Tree of Atonement, we listen. And hopefully we hear a little more clearly. We all have plenty to confess. We can look at our times of unfaithfulness when we were not willing to pick up our cross and follow him. We need his forgiveness. Or what about the times when we have failed to love others in need because we didn't care enough to go to them face to face? What about the times when we may have cut others down with our words or our broken promises or wounded others with our cruelty or neglect? Because of those sins and others, we have deserved God's wrath. However, that is not what we have received. We look to the one who is marching to the cross. We are drawn to the one who has been nailed to the cross, who would be crushed and pierced and killed because of us and for our transgressions. We look to the one whose wounds bring us healing. We look to Jesus, the one upon whom God has laid the iniquity of us all. We look to the one who has poured out his holy, precious, and innocent blood to cover and atone for every last sin. We look to Christ Jesus, as Peter wrote, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. We look to a cross and to a grave, which are now both empty. Instead of weeping in his suffering and death, we marvel, believe, and rejoice in his resurrection life. In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption. Amen.